welcome to the Racing Post's Ultimate World Football Betting Preview Show, brought to you in association with SBK. We're here at the Redwood Sports Bar, and myself, Warren Ashurst, have been joined by Racing Post tipster Mark Langdon, and also our professional punter Nick Doff, who's a regular, of course, with us when it comes to these big football previews. Lots to get through as we build up to what should be a fascinating tournament this summer. Before we get started, though, in terms of looking at the World Cup itself, we've had quite a few of the regular assist punters ask us if we've got any sort of special tips or approaches for football betting, especially when it comes to a big football tournament, Mark.
Well, in terms of the World Cup, I think the one thing I would do more often than kind of on a normal, regular Premier League kind of weekend is react more to kind of one or two matches, because, you know, we can do all the research in the world, but, you know, maybe Jordan are better than we think they are, and actually they come out in the first game. You have to be prepared, I think, to jump around a bit, trust your eyes to some extent. And, you know, in the Premier League, I would say, look, you know, freak results can happen, and they will happen in the World Cup, but you also just can't be married to every single opinion that you've got a week before the tournament, because it's a long tournament.
And Nick, we know you put in some long hours already preparing for the World Cup. Anything that you can add to that?
I think, from what Mark says, it's the uncertainty. Even the biggest, most powerful groups in betting go into a tournament knowing there are things they don't know. And you can learn those things quickly. If we go back 4 years ago, Qatar on opening night, they're playing at home in heat. There's a lot of, we don't really know whether they're going to be adequate, just about managed to cope in their first World Cup, or whether they could be really bad. And we found out quickly they weren't any good at all. And you could almost see online the prices for the second and third game disappearing in front of your eyes as people realised 10, 15 minutes in they were useless. So keeping an eye on what's happening in games and scouring markets for future opportunities is something that in domestic football there's a limited amount of, but in World Cups we can do it.
Okay, well, let's get straight into the preview then of this summer's tournament. And we're going to kick off straight away with the outright tips. And we'll start off with the prices, because Spain are the 24-5 favourites to lift the trophy. France 5-1, 7-1 England, 9-1 Argentina and Brazil, 19-2 Portugal and 18-1 Germany. And then if you're looking at Scotland, 259-1 for Steve Clarke's men. Plenty of the usual big names up and around there. Mark, who stands out for you?
Well, are we going to go straight into the tips?
I think we go straight into it.
We've discussed why I don't fancy some of the other teams in a while. I like Portugal. I don't think it's an amazing outright market. I think we need to say that there's about six or seven teams and they've all got a reasonable chance, I think. But what I like about Portugal is just the sheer quality and depth of their midfield. So Vitinha, João Neves just won the Champions League with Paris Saint-Germain. You've got Nuno Mendes, of course, who also won that. But Bernardo Silva, Bruno Fernandes, a lot of quality in that midfield. And if it becomes a midfield tournament, and I think it might because of the heat, like, I think they've got that ability to keep the ball. What I'd also like is that I don't think that, having won the Champions League, you'd normally think they're knackered. But because Ligue 1 isn't the most demanding of leagues for Paris Saint-Germain, Luis Enrique's been able to rest and rotate those players. And they basically only have to turn up when it's Champions League. So I think you know, there's some really positive signs there. Bruno Fernandes didn't play in Europe this season, had a very good individual campaign. The question mark is Cristiano Ronaldo up front. Look, he was a nightmare a couple of years ago. But still, Portugal in that Euros, you know, they reached the quarterfinals, were only beaten on penalties by France. Ronaldo then come out in the Nations League last year, scored in the semi-final against Germany, scored in the final against Spain, and was taken off in both matches. So maybe Roberto Martinez has learned that you need to not rely so heavily on Ronaldo. And it's not going to be a pressing World Cup because of the heat. And so you don't really need him to do a load of work. So I think Portugal, in a nice little bit of the draw, were the ones for me. I think they're a reason reasons for wanting to take on Spain and France that maybe we'll get to a bit later on. But yeah, Portugal for me.
Okay, well, Portugal then for Mark. Nick, who's caught your eye going into the tournament?
I respect Portugal. They're really near the top of my shortlist. I really respect Brazil. I think conditions will suit, and I think the going through the 1 to 11, I see quality everywhere and think that they will be in the shake-up this time around. But in terms of value price, the team I want to be with most is Netherlands. I think if you go back to the World Cup 4 years ago, they only got beat on penalties in the quarterfinal by Argentina, who went on to win the tournament. They would have played Croatia in the semi-final and been a strong favourite for that game. So we're talking one penalty shootout away from probably being in a World Cup final. They went to the Euros 2 years later, took the lead against England and only lost to that Ollie Watkins goal in injury time. So we really are a couple of bounces of the ball away from talking about World Cup and Euros finalists in the Netherlands. And if anything, that squad's probably got a bit stronger. If you look at the back four, Dumfries is about to move to Real Madrid at right back. Timber at Arsenal. Van Dijk might not have had his best season, but he's still absolutely elite. Van de Ven at Spurs may fit in at left back. Throughout the team, there is high-level Premier League ability. And I think the one thing we need to remember with World Cups is the way international football's gone relative to the absolute elite at Champions League level. You don't have to be a Paris Saint-Germain to win, to go close in a World Cup. You haven't got to have a world-class player in every single position, but you've got to have decent Premier League or equivalent level quality. And there's only 7 or 8 teams in the tournament that have this, and the biggest price of those is probably the Netherlands. So value-wise, that's where I am, but definitely respect Portugal and Brazil.
Well, this tournament preview is brought to you by SBK. All new SBK users can sign up today and using the link in the description to get £50 in free bets when you place a first bet of £20. Okay, well, they're the two main tips of Mark and Nick. And let's drill down a little bit further now into why we're not going with other teams and other nations and look at the groups individually. And we'll start off with England's group, which is Group L, of course. England 4-9 to win the group, along with Croatia at 17-5. It's 11-1 Ghana and 47-1 Panama. Obviously, neither of you have mentioned England. Mark, what would be your major concern going into this?
The major concern would be the heat and the kind of just sort of the way the draw works out for them. If it goes the way many people expect. Last 16 is away to Mexico in the Azteca altitude, followed by a quarterfinal against Brazil in Miami. Don't think either of them games would suit from a kind of heat point of view. The travelling fans might be struggling just as much as the fans as much as the players with those two games. I think they've got a reasonable enough chance. The concern would be like Harry Kane, if anything happened to him. Like, what's the game plan if Harry Kane's injured? And I do just wonder if the defence, when it gets right to the very hardest games, whether it's up to it, I would say. But I'm not in this stage where I'm going, it's anyone but England and all this type of nonsense. I think they've got a reasonable chance. I think you said, 7-8-1 or whatever. I think that's about right for England. But I think they'll win this group easy and I think they'll get nine points and qualify. Just would have my doubts about them going the whole distance.
I suppose it's easy saying that it was a controversial squad selection, Nick, because there's always controversy about an England squad selection. Is there anything that really threw you in terms of Thomas Tuchel's pick?
Only that, I think we saw it coming for a few months that one of Palmer or Foden might not go, but I don't think any of us thought that neither of them would go. And he seems to have really prioritised ball carriers over ball passers. And if you look at in each third of the pitch, the best pure passer probably would be Foden. I know he's got his flaws and people say he doesn't have a position and stuff, but the best passer in the football in the final third, Phil Foden. In the middle third, probably Adam Wharton. And at the back, Trent or even Colwill, real good passers of the ball. None of them are there. So I think he's taken a risk that you've got to be able to pass the football after all and to go far in a World Cup. And he hasn't taken those. So that would be my question mark. And I think he's left some players behind that he was worried wouldn't be able to cope with the stifling heat, which would get fully understand. In terms of their outright price, they're around a 6-1 shot, and I think I've got them coming out 7-1. So, like Mark said, I'm not in this, they can't win it camp, but in terms of pure value, not quite for me, given this draw that we were talking about. It may transpire that they might be better off coming second in the group, because all it needs is one of the teams in that pathway to have come second in theirs as well, mm-hmm. and it opens up completely differently. Yeah. We know that winning the group stage goes through the Azteca and goes through Miami. Who you play there might change, but we've got an idea. Neither of those games are going to be ideal. So actually, coming second in the group could look like the better route with a few results.
You'd do well to come second in the group, though, with Croatia, Ghana and Panama. It only takes one loss, I suppose.
Yeah, it only takes drawing to Croatia, and then it's goal difference, and it could happen, but it probably won't go that way. It's just something that occurred to me the other day.
Just a quick look at their opponents then in terms of Group L. I mean, England have had problems with Croatia in the past, Mark, but they're not the same Croatia they were before.
Well, they are the same Croatia. That's the problem. They're just all kind of 4 or 8 years older than when England played them before. Like, I watched Modric play a fair bit for Milan this season, and he still looks good. And, you know, he'll always be able to pass the ball. Like, he's just never going to lose that. But, like, they've just got so many players that are kind of 34, 35, 36, 37, 40. It just feels too much. It feels too much. And even if they actually start well against England and maybe get the draw there, I'm not sure that I'd back them necessary to win the other two games. Whereas I think England, when you look at England against Ghana and Panama, like, that's where you feel like Harry Kane, you know, just fills his boots. And I'm not sure I could say that about Croatia. Expect them to come second. I think they'll finish in betting order, actually. England, Croatia, Ghana, Panama.
What do you make of Ghana as one of the African contenders? How strong do you think they'll be?
I actually watched their friendly against Wales. And I was moderately impressed. They only played half the players that are going to start in the first game. But a guy played right side of a back three. He looked a really strong player. You'd like to think conditions suit. They've got Semenyo for that X factor. They're not the vintage Ghana side that we saw 8 or 12 years ago that went deep in the tournament. But they'll give England and Croatia a decent game and might take a point off one or the other. And then that would potentially decide the group. From a Panama perspective, the sides that have qualified from the CONCACAF region, because three of the teams didn't have to qualify, USA, Canada and Mexico, all got biased as hosts. So the teams that have qualified from there haven't really been tested. And it's that from a punting perspective, that's been quite tough to get a grip on exactly how good they are when they've not played the best teams in their region as much, although they have the CONCACAF Gold Cup and things like that. I would imagine Panama are the weakest team. Ghana have got to go and beat them in that first game. Yeah. 3 points at 3 points and any goal difference might get you through, but certainly an okay goal difference. So if Ghana beat them, it takes the pressure off them. I would think England win the group. If there's going to be a shock, maybe Ghana get a point in the Croatia game and could finish second.
Okay, well, that is England's group, Group L, and we'll look at the three lines in a bit more detail later on in the preview with our what will be potential starting 11s at the start of the tournament. But we're going to move on to Group A now, and this includes one of the co-hosts in Mexico, who are 10-11 favourites to win the group, South Korea 33-10, the Czech Republic 37-10, and it's 13-1 South Africa. Nick, we'll start with you with this one. Mexico expected to top the group, but don't necessarily say it's a free pass.
No, I'll keep this fairly brief then, because I don't think this is a very good betting medium in Group A. The interesting team for me are Czechia, who are a real set-piece team. And if this is going to be a set-piece World Cup, they're going to play for set. They're not going to be as good as the other sides on the ball, but they'll stack their team full of big men and will play for set pieces in the first game against South Korea. Wouldn't be surprised if the market sort of likes that angle and they get backed on game day. In terms of a bet in the group, I don't have one, and I think Mexico are around the right price.
How do you look upon Group A, Mark?
Yeah, I'm more confident on Mexico. I actually think the home advantage will be significant in this group. I think that in terms of the other sides, I don't really like any of them. With the Czechs, really interesting that they've got two games at altitude. Tomáš Souček looks like he's done 90 minutes before a game even starts. So it'll be interesting to see him after an hour in that kind of heat. I think second spot is absolutely wide open, but I'd be more confident than Nick on Mexico to top the group.
Okay, let's move on to Group B then now, where Switzerland are the 4-5 favourites to win the group. Canada 9-4, Bosnia are around 29-5, and it's 31-1 Qatar. Canada have home advantage, Mark, and I suppose a bit of growing belief that they can do okay in this tournament.
Look, if kind of talk gets you anywhere, then they could go very deep in this competition, because Jesse Marsh is a bit Ted Lasso, isn't he, with his kind of upbeat nature about him. But kind of the more neutral observers are saying this is the best Canadian team they've ever had. You've got Alfonso Davies, you've got Jonathan David, got home advantage. I think home advantage is, I'm not sure it's been factored in quite enough. I've already mentioned Mexico. I think that this group, I'm not going to put up favourites all the time, but I do think in terms of the sort of dual forecast here, I think Switzerland and Canada in any order is the way to go. Like, I think Qatar could be like rubbish again. And Bosnia, I would say, because of the conditions, would struggle against Canada. And I think Switzerland just give you a nice level of a European team. I think we know sort of exactly where they are, and it sets a fair enough standard.
I think it's fair to say, Nick, we know what we're going to get with Switzerland in tournament football, because they're always tough nut to crack.
Yeah, they gave England a real scare in the Euros, and they'd beaten Italy in the round before. So that's only 2 years ago. There are few of the players are aging. I wouldn't say they're an aging squad, because they've got a few younger ones coming through, but the core of their squads are getting a bit older. From a Bosnia perspective, they're probably the weakest European team at the tournament, so even below Scotland. Canada, home advantage-wise, I agree with Mark. I think it's a toss-up between Canada and Switzerland. Price-wise, I'd marginally favour Canada here.
Well, Group C involves one of the teams that Nick mentioned as potential winners in Brazil. They are 3-10 to win the group, which also features Morocco, who are 41-10, Scotland 11-1, and Haiti around about 80-1. You mentioned earlier on about Brazil and a strong fancy for them, Nick. When you look at this group, they shouldn't really have to get out of third gear, should they?
No, they shouldn't. They ought to win the group, but that's very much baked in the price. So apologies for Scottish viewers, but I'm slightly anti-Scotland at this tournament. And so I think this is a real two-horse race to win the group. And Brazil play Morocco in the first game. And if Morocco could pinch a point there, the quote 9-2, 5-1 quotes to win the group are quite appealing. They set the standard as probably the best or second best African team at the tournament. Exceptional 4 years ago. I expect Brazil to win the group, but value-wise, I'd have a shilling on Morocco here.
Well, we'll talk more about Scotland in particular in a moment, Mark, but in terms of this group, Morocco, as Nick mentioned there, have shown us that they have got a little bit about them. Is there a possibility that they might finish second?
Yeah, I mean, I have a strong possibility they finish at least second. I would expect them to. I'd be disappointed if they don't really finish in the top two. But people always want the dark horse at the World Cup. And Morocco would be on that list of dark horses. Semi-finalists 4 years ago, got a lot of players now that are playing at a decent kind of European standard, not least, of course, Hakimi, who's just an astonishing right-back, really, with what he can do defensively and going forward. But they've got a number of players that are kind of second-generation Moroccans that they've managed to kind of, they were playing for France or Netherlands at youth level, and then they've managed to bring them in. I think they collapsed under the pressure of being sort of hosts for AFCON. So I wouldn't even, the final, did they win it or did they not? We're not even worth getting into it. On the pitch, they didn't. You got Brahim Diaz. I think they've got some very good players. I think in this group, I haven't got a strong opinion in terms of the club. I think it'd be Brazil and Morocco, but I'm not sure there's a betting angle. But if both go through, I think they could both be worth following later on.
You've already said, Nick, that you're not big, obviously, on Scotland. I mean, the one target that they've got going into this is to reach the knockout stages. And because there's so many teams, and of course, third place sides can go through, what are the hopes for Steve Clarke?
The hopes are good. I think that they should absolutely be targeting getting out of the group. But they're going to be about 4-9 shots in that first game in the heat against Haiti, and it just looks a bit too short for me. Not many teams I make Scotland 4-9 against. I'm quite, I don't think the Brazil or Morocco games suit them all. So actually, if you can find a fair price for Scotland not to qualify, it's probably value.
I mean, Billy Gilmore's going to be a big absentee, Mark. That's a huge setback before the tournament.
Yeah, I would say that in midfield is the strength of the team anyway. And, you know, you've got McTominay, you've got McGinn. It's just the pressure to beat Haiti in that opening game is massive. And we know, you know, you go back, even when they had, like, great players, that when the pressure was on, it's when they kind of didn't produce. And it was in games a lot of the time where they've been expected to win. Now, maybe what they've done in the 70s and 80s doesn't matter. This is a new team. But there is, it feels like there's that burden on them to do it. And, like, I'd never want to be with teams when it feels like that. So I'm not, you know, I'm not sure I'd back Haiti, but I certainly wouldn't be backing Scotland. Not one for those first round hackers, I think it's fair to say.
I think Scotland fans of years gone by will remember the likes of Costa Rica and Peru and start to be a little bit worried about Haiti going into that opening game. Let's move on to Group D now, where another of the co-hosts are in action in the USA. They're 13-8 to win the group. Turkey 9-5. Paraguay around 41-10. And bigger for Australia, who make up the quartet in Group D. Mark, we'll start with you with this one. Should the US progress from this group?
I think they should progress. I think they'll finish in the top two. Quite like the dual forecast price here again for US and Turkey to go through one and two. You've mentioned home advantage. I won't keep banging on about it, but like, they've got some very energetic forward players. I think that they, one of the teams that will probably still try to go for it in the heat. I think that might suit them early. I'm not sure if you can play like that the whole tournament. Pulisic is kind of the poster boy, and this is kind of his tournament, he'll feel like, and he's a, you know, he's an exceptional player. I would just say that Turkey have got, in terms of, we're looking at a whole kind of 11. Yeah. I would say that Turkey have got better players, player for player, and, you know, Guler at Real Madrid, Yildiz at Juventus, sort of two. This could be their tournament as well. Paraguay and Australia, I haven't got a strong view particularly on either, but I just wonder where the goals will come from for both.
I think you've got a strong feeling for Turkey, haven't you, Nick?
Yeah, I think the dark horses is the phrase that gets banded around. And for me in this tournament, it is Turkey. I think the Turkish league is in a fairly positive state at the moment. Galatasaray were backed every week in the Champions League by the syndicate, so they were seen as a strong side, and a good few players are coming from there for them. They've got both fullbacks playing at Brighton and Roma in good leagues, and we've talked about how important that is. And then genuine match changers in Guler, Çalhanoğlu, Yilmaz. They tick a lot of boxes. Conditions ought to be okay. They'll give USA a real run for their money, but I'm actually quite pro-USA as well. I do think home advantage is going to be huge for them, and that group looks a bit of a coin toss. Again, value-wise, if you can get 2-1, 9-4 about a coin toss, then you'd always want to be on it, and that's where Turkey slight second favs. I can't see Paraguay have got enough goals in them. They struggle for scoring goals. And Australia will be the same Australia that we see at these major tournaments all the time. They'll be gritty. They might pull off one shock, but one shot, it might get you through. It got them through 4 years ago, didn't it? And they qualified for the second round 4 years ago. May well do the same again, but they can't win a group, really.
Well, let's move on to Group E now, which includes Germany, who are 4-9 favourites to win the group, which also includes Ecuador, Ivory Coast and Curaçao. And Germany expected to cruise through the group, Nick, but are they potential outright contenders for this tournament?
Yes, although they're a slightly shorter price than the Netherlands, who I've put up as being quite strong, so they're not on my shortlist at the price as a possible winner. But yeah, Germany are always on the list. Although, you know, the World Cup pedigree in the last couple of tournaments is really to be questioned. I'm quite strong on the Ivory Coast here. I think that they're closer to Senegal and Morocco as the top two sides than the market sees them and most people see them. Ecuador have been a team on a lot of people's lists as the dark horse. I can't quite have it. I just don't think they've got enough going forward to score, you know, and will score enough goals in this tournament to take them deep in it. Ecuador are clear second favourites over Ivory Coast, and I'm not sure that's the right way round. So, touch of value perhaps on Ecuador to win the group. I'm not sure if we're going to come on to Golden Boot stroke top goal scorer later on. If we are, a little spoiler that I would be quite positive on Kai Havertz. They play Curaçao in the first game. He's got the biggest Asian handicap line of any first stage match at about 3.5. Even Spain v Cape Verde's only 2.75. So 3/4 goal extra handicap there. Germany are in to score plenty in their first game alone. Havertz could get himself in front. And if you're betting each way on top goal scorer, he could be in a great spot after one game.
Yeah, I was going to say, Germany facing Curaçao in the first game puts them in a really strong position early on, you'd think, Mark.
If that one goes Curaçao's way, then the World Cup sort of will feel completely kind of upside down. You might get one of those results somewhere along the line. I don't think it will come in this one. I think Germany will win the group quite comfortably. I've been more positive on Germany than I think kind of the general market is. Like, their draw is quite difficult. It looks like they'll probably have to play France in the last 16. So I think putting them up to win it is, it wouldn't be the one. But I do think they're better than sort of most people are saying they are. You're getting, this is one of the worst German teams we've seen in ages. Like, I just don't see that. And it wouldn't be a massive surprise if Wirtz suddenly turned back into the Leverkusen Wirtz rather than the Liverpool one. Nick's already mentioned Havertz, who scored in, multiple Champions League finals. They've got a number of quality defenders. I know Neuer coming back is seen as kind of upsetting some parts of the dressing room, but I still think he's the best German goalkeeper. And if you're Nagelsmann, why would you not want the best German goalkeeper in goal? I think Germany will win the group. This is not a group where I'm having a betting. And just to see how bad Curaçao are will be quite interesting.
Group F features Nick's selection of the Netherlands, who he feels will go a long way in the tournament. They're 5-6 to win Group F, with Japan 29-10, Sweden 5-1, and it's 23-2 Tunisia. We've already heard Nick's comments on the Netherlands. How do you see them as a contender?
Yeah, I mean, I backed the Dutch 4 years ago, and Nick mentioned that penalty shootout. They were out at one stage, then they pulled it right back with Wout Weghorst being the hero, and actually didn't think they played that well in that World Cup, actually. But in the Euros, I backed them when it got to the knockout stage, and they were banging it in that semi-final against England. I thought it was a dodgy penalty that got England back into the game. It was a penalty that was won rather than kind of a nailed on pen. Kane did well to get it for England. So I would not be surprised if they went quite deep in the tournament. In terms of their rivals, I think Japan are probably, they're going to be seen as a dark horse by some. I just wonder about their pressing style in the heat. Sweden is just an unbalanced team. Isak and Jokeres up front, Elanga as well. So, I mean, there's good things there, but that balance isn't throughout the team. Like, defence doesn't match the attack. And again, not a group that I'm having loads of bets in. I wouldn't be surprised again if they finish in betting order.
We know you'd expect Netherlands to go through from here, Nick. Sweden are an interesting one. Absolutely shocking in qualifying. And then they win via the playoffs. And as Mark said, they do have some quality in that squad.
Yeah, I agree. They're really interesting because I was changed manager to go with Graham Potter. They knew at the beginning of their qualifying campaign, through the way the Nations League works, they were guaranteed a playoff anyway. So once they got beat in the first couple of games and couldn't win the group, there was really nothing riding on the rest of those games. Then Isak was injured for a large chunk of the... Anyway, he comes back fresh now. I don't know how the conditions are going to suit, but you'll see a very different Sweden to the one that got stuffed in those qualifying games. And I think Potter international football might suit him. I think I'm expecting him to be quite a good coach in that environment. And I've got a little doubt about Japan as well. So I wondered about the forecast, Netherlands to win it and Sweden to come second, actually. I think Sweden are interesting.
Okay, Group G is next, which features Belgium, who are 2-1 on to win the group, Egypt 43-10, Iran 6-1, and New Zealand, the big outsiders, at 20-1. Nick, we'll start with you with this one. How do you see Group G?
The most boring, hard to get interested in group of the entire tournament. Belgium have managed to find themselves in with three teams that whichever one gets out probably won't get past the last 32. I'm not particularly strong on Belgium at all. But they're almost like my banker to win a group because of who they're up against here.
Yeah, I think the interesting thing is they've got a great goalkeeper in Courtois and in Doku, somebody that you can kind of just give him the ball and he just run on his own. And Tielemans is very good in midfield. So there's a couple of bits there that kind of should at least mean that they, you know, make the most of this draw. And I think even the last 32 looks quite soft for them. So they could end up kind of being last 16, last 8, and not have to do that much. I have got quite a strong opinion, though, in this group in terms of Egypt, who I think are well overrated. If Salah brings his Liverpool form, they're completely stuffed. And I actually just think Iran are better than them, or at least as good as them. And then that's not suggested in the prices. And I also, you know, don't want to get too deep into the politics, but I do think that when you're fighting for a cause, you know, that can take you beyond your limits. And so, you know, Iran come into this tournament pretty determined, I would say, to do well in the US. And I think I'd say they're at least as good as Egypt, and that's not reflected in the prices.
Yeah, it's just worth pointing out that if they both came second in their groups, USA and Iran would meet each other in the last 32. And you can be absolutely assured there is nothing USA want less than that match. Like the definition of a hiding to nothing. The whole world probably cheering Iran. And if you win, will you win? If you lose, it's a laughing stock thing. USA do not want that match. So it's just one to keep an eye on if they did both shot towards second place.
We'll move on to Group H now, which includes the favourites in the outright market, because Spain are 1-4 to win Group H, not surprisingly. But they do have Uruguay as contenders at 41-10, Saudi Arabia 26-1, and Cape Verde as big as 47-1. Spain and Uruguay, Mark, look like they're nailed on, don't they, to get these two top spots?
They do, but if Uruguay finish second, they'll probably play Argentina in the last 32. There's a bit of a rumour going around that maybe they'll look at that and think they're better to finish third and get an potentially easier game if you finish third than if you actually finish second in that group. I don't know if Bielsa thinks like that, but all I would say is that they're about 4-7 to finish second in that group. That might be worth a friendly lay, or maybe in the two matches, if it looks like they've definitely got Argentina, maybe then start to think about that last game as to whether Uruguay plot a way to avoid what would be, you know, a derby game for them. In terms of Spain, like, we haven't spoken about them. They're the favourites. Why have I not put them up? It's just the fact that I think it's going to be a low-scoring tournament, particularly the knockouts, and I think you'll have to win maybe two games in extra time, one penalty shootout. And for that, I don't want to be on the favourites if I think you've got to go through that. And then just on the playing staff side of things, Lamine Yamal comes into the tournament with an injury, and Nico Williams has suffered injuries throughout most of the season. Now, you could say they'll be fresh. You mean, the nervous bit for me is, are they both absolutely on it and fully fit? So there's just a question mark there for me.
Nick, in terms of Spain's outright price, is it a fair price for you?
I think it's fair, because I think that player for player, they're probably the best or joint best team with France of the whole tournament. But with the extra knockout game, playing every 5 days rather than every six a lot of the time, anyone that wins this tournament will probably have to win one game in extra time and one shootout. If you look back through history, that tends to be the case. Yeah. So how much do you really want to be involved at 5-1 about a team that, you know, at two stages along the way are probably going to be close to a coin flip to get through, not far off a coin flip? So that's why at the top of the market, Spain, France and England, I can't quite make them value. Touching on the group, Mark mentioned the thing about coming second for Uruguay. So we flip that to how that affects Spain. They've got to be absolutely certain they don't come second, because that's a disaster to path through. So don't be surprised in that first game against Cape Verde if they really look to run up a score, knowing that goal difference might make a difference at the end, because you want to be able to rest players in that third group game if you can.
Yep.
And you can only do that if from Spain's perspective, if the group is absolutely assured.
Bubai has France as the favourites, 12-25 they are, with Norway 16-5, Senegal 42-5, and it's 49-1 Iraq. And France, Nick, obviously amongst the tournament favourites, you just alluded to it there, you feel like they are quite rightly amongst the favourites and one of the strongest squads. Is there a concern about their main man in terms of Mbappe and what's gone on this season?
Yeah, there's a few concerns for me with France. I wonder if Deschamps coming towards the end, and if a final tournament, you know, might not have the same feel to it. I also think they've been drawn in a little bit of a pig of a group. Like Senegal and Norway have got high upsides.
Yep.
Now, with high upsides also come low downsides. And this Norway side, they look like maybe the highest variance team at the tournament for me. If they get it right and get Haaland and Odegaard at their best, they could have a deep run in the tournament. If they don't acclimatise whatsoever, they're Norwegian after all, to these conditions, and they don't get the best out of Haaland, because even at Man City, we see the odd game where, after half an hour, they put up, he had no touches in the box, that kind of thing. If they can't get him involved in the game, the rest of their side, outside of those two players, it's pretty ordinary. So I like to find spots at tournaments where you can pinpoint high upsides, down low downsides, and get with either of those at a big price, knowing if you're massively wrong, that doesn't matter because it was factored into the price. So things like Norway to finish bottom of the group at a double-figure price here, you can back that knowing that if things go totally wrong for them, they're a big runner.
Yeah.
And if they're the total opposite and they win the group, well, you've lost a 10-1 bet. That doesn't matter so much. So this is a really interesting spot for me, coupled with the fact that Senegal are damn good and shouldn't be underestimated at all. If things go wrong for Norway, they could go really wrong.
As somebody speaking with red hair and having to deal with the temperatures, I can completely understand the thought process with Norway.
We love a trip to the US as well. Thanks, Laura.
I do. Senegal, though, as Nick's touched upon there, but I mean, they showed against England in the friendly last year the quality they had.
It's probably my biggest group position so far. Norway play Senegal in the second round of games. Norway are around about 11 to 10, even money to win that game. I'm not even sure they're better than Senegal. So I would be very strong on Senegal not to lose that game at the very least. So in terms of like the group, they could all take points off each other. And I'd hate to say, oh, let's get with Senegal, to finish top two. And that actually, the one thing I'm more confident on is that game is that they put up a really good showing against the Norway team that to me looks unbalanced in terms of three, four, really top level players, and then some that are, on the moody side. And I don't think that's the same in Senegal.
Okay, we'll move on to Group J now, which of course features the defending champions, as Argentina are 4-11 to win this group, Austria 41-10, Algeria 9-1, and Jordan 37-1. And I would imagine that most people expect Argentina to qualify comfortably, Mark. How do they compare to, say, 4 years ago?
Well, Messi's 4 years older, and I think that's the big difference for me, and Otamendi as well. But, can Messi, if he's not going to be the difference maker, will they drop him and take him out? It's been the same thing about kind of Cristiano Ronaldo. Yeah. It's so hard to take him out if he's not playing at the level that kind of we know that Messi was at sort of 4 or 8 years ago. They've got players that could do that job. Lautaro Martinez could come in, for instance, and you wouldn't lose a huge amount. You could even argue he's, as influential now as what Messi would be. But I'm just not sure you can take that sort of legendary status away from him and take him out of the team. I felt that they had the run of the green 4 years ago. They've got an okay chance, but I don't think they're that much better than Brazil. I would just put a line through qualifying and say that Brazil will be better. And in terms of this group, I wanted to take them on. I just wasn't sure there was a spot to take them on. I think Austria might not be able to play the way that Ranić wants them to play in this heat.
What do you think of Argentina, Nick?
I think the positives are that they'll always be amongst the best prepared teams at any tournament. Half their squad managed to find little injuries at parts of the season to get themselves a rest, so they turn up here fresh. I don't think there's any coincidence in that. And there's always squad harmony. They get on. They love playing for their country probably more than anyone else. And they will run themselves into the ground for the cause. So that's the positive. The negatives are, I do think they have run hot and got a little bit lucky at vital times in the last, not just the World Cup, but in the Copa as well. And I wonder whether that runs out here. So of the two big South Americans, Brazil and Argentina, I do prefer Brazil this time around. In the group, Austria were everyone's dark horses going into the last Euros 2 years ago. And they got out of their group playing some good football along the way. And then they came up against Turkey in the last 16 and they went off really short, like evens to win the game against Turkey, conceded after 4 minutes. And just couldn't get back into the game properly. And it's often, it's pretty much the same squad. So I wouldn't totally write them off, but yeah, conditions have to be a factor there. Algeria, Mahrez is nearly done now, you'd think. They're not the Algeria that were very good 12 years ago now. And Jordan, no.
That's one word, no. Group K wraps up the look at the group stage at this tournament, and Portugal are in Group K, 4-7 to win the group, Colombia 12-5, 13-1 DR Congo, and Uzbekistan at 41-1. Portugal and Colombia maybe in the battle for top spot here, Nick?
Yeah, this is one of those dual forecasts that I really like, and the reason for that is I'm a little bit anti- DR Congo, watched them at AFCON, wasn't, I know they've got some nice Premier League players in the squad, but wasn't impressed with them as a side, and have them miles below the best teams in Africa. So Colombia looked like they're a very solid yardstick. Last 16 team and Portugal we've been over, so there could be a forecast here.
I agree. One extra point would be that I wonder if DR Congo might actually finish bottom of that group, and Uzbekistan, I don't think there's as much, but you mentioned there the prices, like this huge gulf between the two teams. I mean, Uzbekistan at the back, you know, have got top players, one of which plays for Man City, and then up front, one of the top scorers in Turkey. So, like, if you can keep them out and score goals, you might be able to at least finish third.
Well, SBK has a massive offer for this week's opening World Cup game. Place a £10 bet on a bet builder on Mexico versus South Africa. And if it doesn't come in, you'll get your money back as a free bet. Be sure to head over to SBK to opt in to that promotion and check out all of their other offers throughout the tournament. 18 plus, please gamble responsibly. T's and C's apply. Okay, well, that's the look at all of the groups in the tournament. We will be taking a look at any other best bets that Nick and Mark have got, as well as, of course, top goal scorer for this summer's event. But we're going to have a look in more detail now at England and a potential starting 11 in terms of the opening game of the tournament. And we've already discussed, Mark, that Thomas Tuchel dropped a couple of bombshells with not putting Foden and Palmer in the squad. Can we expect some more surprises in the starting 11?
No, I don't think so. I mean, Pickford will be in goal. I think if Reece James is fit, he'll be right back. Gahey definitely starts the centre-back. And then it's Stones or Konsa. I think he'll start with Konsa and then see if he can build Stones up as the tournament goes on. Left-back, I think Nick O'Reilly starts, whether he finishes it, because again he might want someone more solid, but I think O'Reilly starts. In midfield, Anderson and Rice would be the two. Saka starts on the right. I'd go Morgan Rogers over Jude Bellingham in the 10 position. I just think that he's got that relationship with Kane and works a bit harder, like in terms of running beyond, and Kane likes that. On the left, Barcelona's Anthony Gordon gets the nod for me over Marcus Rashford. No surprises up front. Harry Kane will start. And as we know from every other tournament, after three games, all the people that never watch football say, why is he dropping deep? He needs to come out the team. I mean, 1 Euros, Dominic Calvert-Lewin was supposed to replace him up front. I mean, do me a favour. Kane up front.
I have to say, I've got pretty much exactly the same starting 11, Nick. I've gone with Konsa ahead of Stones because of his game time this year more than anything. It seems bizarre to say 2 years on that we wouldn't be picking Jude Bellingham, but what's your thoughts?
Yeah, there's a couple of big calls. One I agree with Mark and the other one I'll disagree. I think Bellingham plays over Rodgers. And I agree, Roger, that Gordon probably gives you a little bit more than Rashford does. So I'd be starting with Gordon just for the pace, for the ability to interchange and to come through into that nine spot area as Kane does drop deep. Rashford for me, a little bit one trick pony coming in from the left.
So you're going Bellingham. Is that just because you just think he's just a better player and therefore you just pick the best player?
Yeah, I want the better player in there, and I think Morgan Rodgers is a little bit of an XG monster this year and has been... I don't think he's quite as good as he's being touted as now. Bellingham for me is head and shoulders a better player and got that X factor, a little bit of unpredictability. I'd rather have Bellingham.
Perhaps Rashford's going to be fuming with Anthony Gordon, but this tournament comes around. He's taking his place at Barcelona and now in the England team as well. So, yeah, I mean, it does look as though that could well be the starting 11 for England, with that big selection between Rodgers and Bellingham for Thomas Tuchel. Well, the Racing Post, as ever, will have the best coverage across the tournament, with a pullout to look forward to in terms of this summer's World Cup finals. Mark, what can we expect?
Yeah, so on Tuesday, June the 9th, we've got an 80-page special coming out in the Racing Post. You can see there, front page, gone for the Statue of Liberty and all of the main players that are expected to take part this summer. Team profiles of all the teams, plus outright selections. We've got some prop stars, so who you should be putting in your bet builders for all 48 teams. You know, we've put loads of research so that our guys know who the shot monster is for Jordan, who's the card magnet for Uzbekistan. We've also done big feature on the travel and kind of who's putting in the hard miles, which I think could be really important this summer. So it'll be your great betting companion, not only for the start of the tournament, but I think all the way through.
The Racing Post World Cup pullout. Make sure you pick up one ahead of this summer's tournament. I mean, best bets elsewhere, guys. Top goal scorer, Nick, you mentioned earlier on Kai Havertz you had as a potential. Any other thoughts on that, Mark?
Just on Havertz, I think he's absolutely certain to start. There's been a lot of people giving criticism in England, especially about when he starts as a striker. But football's a game now where your striker has to offer a bit more than just what they do in the penalty box. And he does that. He's done it at the top level, scoring in two Champions League finals. And if the other option is Valtomade, who can't start at Newcastle, I think Havertz wins that battle every time. When we're starting for a side that you've got to see getting to the quarterfinals at least, and they have one of the weakest teams in the whole tournament at first. So 33-1 just doesn't seem right there for me. There's no one else on my shoulders.
So just to say before we get Mark's thoughts, that Mbappe is the 6-1 favourite. Kane 15-2, Oyarzabal is 14-1, Haaland 15-1, Messi 17-1, and Ronaldo 19-1. Will there be anybody in that list for you?
No, there isn't. And the reason being that I think there's going to be rest and rotation at this World Cup, and you know, somebody could play against a weaker team and get three or four goals, and all of a sudden, like, you know, you're on Mbappe. Maybe he doesn't play against Iraq, for example. You mentioned the knee injury. Like, Tuchel possibly rest Kane in that third match if qualification is already done. So I think there's enough reasons to throw a few darts at bigger prices. There's two that I like at sort of, you know, between 33 and 50-1. One is Cody Gakpo of Netherlands. Nick's already made the case for why he thinks the Dutch could go well at this tournament. Like, Gakpo just might be a tournament player, just one of them that just pops up. Yep. He's done it in the World Cup. For when he really kind of made his name, if you like. And then 2 years ago at the Euros, he was joint top scorer. So because Depay plays up front, Memphis, and he drops deep and sort of drifts out left, Gakpo's often the one that ends up in the centre forward position. And then you could argue that this player is like, he's probably not as good as Mbappe or Kane, but he's on that next level. Julian Alvarez of Argentina, I think he's probably got the legs to be able to play more, obviously, than Lionel Messi. Scored a lot of goals in this season's Champions League. I just think he's an absolutely quality finisher. And if Messi does need to be taken out at times, like, Alvarez, I think, just starts sort of, you know, every game for Argentina.
In terms of other best bets, anything else caught your eye? Outside the outrights and top goals?
Yeah, look, I've not been through the top team scorers yet, and I always come up with loads of them. My success rate's probably not as good as it should be, but I love playing them. So I'm going to stick to the golden ball for now. If you like Spain, like, Lamine Yamal is the obvious place to look, but I'd say it's beyond obvious, and sort of, I don't think he's as good as maybe, like, the difference between him and Pedri, for instance, isn't as big as what the price gap is between those two players. And Pedri is the type of midfielder that could just run a tournament like this if Spain go well. And then Bruno Fernandes comes off an amazing season with Manchester United individually. Sorry, Roy Keane, I'll disagree with you, yeah, maybe. But like, he is somebody, an assist king, can score spectacular goals, and he's fresh. No European competition means that he comes into this tournament kind of 20 games, 25 games behind some of those that have gone deep in the Champions League. You think of like Declan Rice, for instance, look how many minutes he played at such a high intensity. Like Fernandes had none of that. Just been able to stroll into the World Cup. Probably his last big chance, I think, to make an impression. Those two in the golden ball market.
And Nick, all the stats crunching that you've done in the build-up to the tournament, has anything else stood out for you?
So we've touched on being pro-Turkey. And I think if you can find the decent price, Turkey to reach the quarter-final, that's something I'd like to be with. Their group, even if he comes second in their group, which we talked about being a toss-up with the USA, you play another second-place team, which is charted to be either Egypt or Iran. Turkey would be strong favourites for that game. And then you're in the last 16, you're one game away from a quarterfinal. So you can get a decent price, Turkey, to make a quarterfinal. Obviously, you'd have to have a shackle of 100-1 each way, something like that in case, because you'd be upset with yourself if they win it and you weren't on. But your main stake, if you want to be pro-Turkey, probably be to get with them to reach a quarterfinal.
Okay, well, masses for you to consider going into what should be a fascinating tournament. A big thanks to Mark and Nick for their input and tips ahead of what will be, as I say, real spectacle over the summer. Please like, subscribe and follow on the Racing Post YouTube channel. And for us, it's time now to look ahead to what should be a fantastic summer of football. Thanks very much for joining us on this international preview. And please remember to gamble responsibly.